Pastor, I'm sure you'll be glad to speak to you. If you turn your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 is where we begin this morning. It is Resurrection Sunday, but traditionally we celebrate it during this time of the year. But every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and He is alive, and He's alive in us. If you are a born again Christian. And people can see that He is alive when we live for the Lord. So Luke chapter 24, starting from verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, and bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of simple men, and be crucified the third day and rise again. And they remembered His word and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then rose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for today. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, we bow down before You, and Lord, with our hearts and humility, and just, Lord, I pray that You empower us this morning, and Lord, through the preaching of Your word, and Lord, I pray that You would just speak to hearts this morning. And Lord, I don't know that the needs of every individual, but You do. And we pray that You meet all those needs, Lord, to Your word. And I pray most of all, Lord, that if there's someone here this morning that's still unsure of heaven and they're not sure that they were to die today, Lord, what a marvelous thing it would be, Lord, that they would commit to Christ their eternal destiny, Lord, during Resurrection Sunday. And I pray that if there's someone like that today, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, I pray that You bind Satan. And Lord, I pray that You would just help us as we look at Your word. And I pray that we put aside any distraction, anything that would hinder us from allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. And again, we thank You, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior today, and that we can be made alive through Him. And thank You again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, as people say, is the central theme of Christianity. Dr. Henry Morris said this. He said, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection is a myth, and then the whole Christian faith is false. If there is no resurrection, then mankind has no hope, and we may have religion, but no meaning in life and no purpose. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul the apostle pens these words to the Corinthian church about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said this, but if there be no resurrection, starting from verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. If so, be that so that raised your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. And you see there the key to Christian life and what makes it that it is powerful is because of the resurrected Savior. If you were to look at the tombstones of spiritual leaders or founders of major religions today, you'll find there is a tombstone. And buried there is the leader of that particular group. But if you look at the tomb, you'll find nothing. And you'll find an empty tomb. And praise God that He is risen. And the resurrection is of the utmost importance. Though many times people view this time as a year as a means of a holiday. And I'm not against a holiday. Everybody needs a vacation now and then. But many times in a secular world, they see it as a way to just get away. But for us as Christian, it is an important reminder to commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is important to remind again of what God did for us to secure eternal life for us and of all mankind. The resurrection of Jesus Christ also has been a topic of much debate. And those that would question the Bible and would question the deity of Christ also question the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, I believe it's important for us to be reminded of the clear scriptural teachings and principles about the resurrection of Christ and how we can point in the Bible that He indeed is alive today. These are some principles that I have gathered and some things that not necessarily original from me, but there's some things, principles that the Lord has showed me that I want to share with you. First of all, four compelling evidences of the resurrection. And again, many times in this world, they do question the resurrection of Christ and the authenticity of it and the reality of it, because really, Satan knows how to, if we can break our faith or shake our faith, it would be the central theme of Christianity, which is the resurrection. And so, I know many of these principles, perhaps you've heard before, a lot of the verses you've read before, but again, I believe it's a good reminder for us and for those that I'm not sure about heaven, and this is an important aspect of salvation, an important piece of the puzzle, if you would, understanding what He did for us and the power of sin, which is death, and how He overcame that. And by faith, we can come to Christ and have eternal life by believing in His resurrection. And first of all, we see the first evidence of the resurrection of Christ is the execution of Jesus. Obviously, you can't have a resurrection without a dead body. And we see that there are numerous historical evidences that prove that Jesus did really die on the cross. You can consider the nature of the crucifixion. The cross, that type of execution invented by the Romans, is meant to end somebody's life. No one in history has ever survived a Roman crucifixion. And the Romans, if you study history, as they conquered, conquered many lands and conquered many nations, they were expert in cruelty. They know death when they see it. And so here we see that the Roman soldiers were all, no one in recorded history has ever survived the death penalty of the Roman cross. And Jesus wanted to make sure that the leaders wanted to make sure that the bodies were crucified and were taken down and buried before sundown so they can start the Jewish High Sabbath, as we read in the Bible. In doing so, they hastened in their execution and breaking the legs of the victims. However, by the time the Roman soldiers got to Jesus, He was already dead. And that's found in John chapter number 19. If you would turn there with me, John chapter 19, verse number 30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. And the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, the body should be not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was on high day, besought Pilate, and their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. And but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. And but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. At the end of it, we see that the soldiers pierced the side, and the water, water and blood came out. Why is the execution important? It is important because those that are skeptical of the resurrection suppose that Jesus did not die at all, that he did not conquer death. And for us as Christians, that's important because that's part of the puzzle of giving us redemption. Because there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And we see that pattern in the book of Hebrews that there has to be a sacrifice. Now, when there's a sacrifice, something dies, right? And there has to be a blood that was shed. And Jesus' blood was shed for us on that very day. He died for you and me. He took our sin there on that very day and he died. And the sin the blood that flowed out of his body was for our redemption. The Bible says that he is the propitiation for our sin, and not ours only, but the whole earth and the whole world. And the word propitiation means satisfaction. It's the complete payment for our sin. And if you have ever had dealt with a bank or have had an outstanding loan or paying off a car or a mortgage or so on, and when you sign that ownership and everything has been settled, you have the ownership. And when Jesus Christ, the very blood, put, if you would, the signature, the ink that was used to that he owns us now, and the paper of our sin was the very blood that was shed that day. So it is important to know one of the compelling evidences of the resurrection is the execution of Jesus, that he died. In reality, and it was not just a made-up story. And so, we see that secondly, not only the execution of Jesus, but there were also eyewitnesses report. All four of the Gospels make references of the resurrection story. The Apostle Paul, who did not come to the scene until many years later, after the death of Christ, said the following. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. But after that, he was seen of James and all the apostles. And at last, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. You remember the conversion of Paul there in the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, when the Lord gloriously appeared to him in the clouds and spoke to him. And that's what he's talking about. But there were some eyewitnesses report. We also need to realize that by the time some of the Gospels were written, there were still eyewitnesses that were still living. I think I read an article and he said this. I think it is safe to suppose that if there were discrepancies of the false information in the written Gospels, people would have corrected them. And that people would have said, that's not really how it happened. And so there were eyewitnesses report. Lee Strobel says this. I don't endorse everything that he believed, but he wrote a book. He writes this: we have preserved for us a creed of the earliest Christian church. And a creed is an eyewitness report of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He continues, the creed has been dated by scholars to within months of the death of Jesus Christ. And there were eyewitness reports, and there were people that have seen the resurrected Savior. And there was, of course, we know one of the apostles, Thomas, and we nicknamed him Doubting Thomas. Because why? He doubted, right? He wanted to see. He said, I'm not going to believe until I see the piercing in his hand and the wound in his side. And And obviously we know that he believed afterwards the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself. And so we see that one of the evidence, first of all, of the resurrection is the death of Jesus Christ. There has to be a death before resurrection. And number two, the eyewitnesses report. There were consistent report from eyewitnesses. But thirdly, there's also the empty tomb. The empty tomb. And that one of the greatest evidence of that is that the empty tomb, as I mentioned in the beginning, that you can go around this world and see tombs of Joseph Smith and tombs of other leaders, and where they would have their date of birth and death and so on, and many other prominent leaders, and you see them and they're dead, and you'll never find a tombstone of Jesus Christ or a gravestone of Jesus Christ. It is empty, the empty tomb. But the empty tomb also remains one of the greatest mysteries among skeptics. And while they cannot deny the tomb was empty, and they still come out with theories contrary to the miraculous resurrection of Jesus Christ, some propose the following. One, the Jewish leaders stole the body of Jesus. This is simply impossible because Jewish leaders asked Pilate for armed guards to watch the tomb to make sure that the follower of Christ would steal the body of Christ. If they were planning to steal the body, then they wouldn't ask for Pilate for security. And actually, it would make their whole point of guarding the tomb. It wouldn't make sense if they stole the body themselves. That would be found in Matthew chapter 27 when they sent out the guards, verse 27 or 63 to 65. And also, there's another theory that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Remember what happened to the disciples when Jesus was arrested. Peter followed, but the rest of them ran. And John also was present there at the crucifixion. But all of them were hiding somewhere because they were afraid for their lives. They thought they were next. It really shook their faith, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was taken and had died. And to them, to steal the body of Jesus would be an impossibility. They were hiding for fear. And also, as mentioned, it would have been impossible for them to overpower the Roman guards. And so another theory is this, that the Roman government stole the body. And this theory is not correct because they have no reason to do so. And in fact, Pilate didn't want anything to do with the death of Christ. And in fact, he washed his hand as a sign of not being guilty of his death at the cross. For them to steal the body of Christ also would create more public uproar among the Jewish leaders and the followers of Christ. So what are the evidences of the empty tomb? Well, number one, first, the Jewish leaders themselves recognized that the tomb was empty. However, they fabricated a story that explains the tomb. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Starting from verse number 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. And so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And so we see that they fabricated a story because they knew the body is missing. And the soldiers told them about what had happened. Back then, a Roman soldier, if he's found in dereliction of duty or even not doing their job and failing to do their job, means death. And that was a serious thing. But they took the money anyway and they propagated that story. Which I kind of don't know what happened to those Roman soldiers, because again, the consequence of of not doing their job means death. And we see that in Acts 16 when the Philippian jailer when the earthquake happened and all the prison doors opened, all their shackles came down from Paul and Silas and everybody in the prison. He tried to kill himself because he's good as dead. Because if the prisoners escape, it was a serious a dereliction of duty and an error in his part. And so there was the story fabricated. But secondly, there's an angel testified of an empty tomb. Matthew 28 now, verse 5 to 6. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." There was an angel that said that. Last, there was the testimony of the disciples that rushed into the scene of the empty tomb. In John chapter 20, we were there a moment ago, so let's go back to John chapter 20, verse 3. The Bible says, "Peter therefore went forth and that the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. And then cometh Simon Peter following him and went to the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home." And so we see here that the testimony of the disciples that were there in John chapter 20. And so lastly, as we look at this, that we see that the death, the execution of Christ, the empty tomb and the eyewitness report. But lastly, we see that the earnestness of the disciples. After the resurrection, Jesus commanded his disciples to take the message of the gospel to the entire world, and they were to continue the work that he had started that there in Matthew 28 verse 19 and 20, to go into the world and preach the gospel and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to serve all things which I have all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so the disciples took the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth, and even to the expense of their own life. And remember, when Jesus was taken, arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and was tried, the disciples were in hiding. They were afraid for their lives. They thought that they're next. And they thought that the Jewish leaders would come after them. But something happened after the resurrection. In fact, if you would study in history about the disciples, all of them except for one died a martyr's death. Would you die for a lie? Would you go and, as we read the book of Acts, the persecution came in Acts chapter 8, and basically the Jerusalem church was scattered and from all over the place, and only the disciples remained, and they were persecuted, jailed, beaten, stoned, and would you do that for a lie? And we see that the earnestness of the disciples and many of others in modern history, even in the last few centuries, as we read the martyrs and those that gave their lives for their faith, I don't think they would do it for a lie. And so they knew that that Jesus rose again. There was something happened there as Jesus showed up and gave them the great commission and said to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And again, Peter was crucified in Rome upside down. Paul was beheaded in Rome. Andrew was crucified. Thomas was pierced with sword. James was stoned to death. Matthias was burned alive. Philip was cruelly put to death. Matthew was crucified. They all died following the command of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the empty tomb. Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew that the only hope for this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that their message is rested upon the fact that death had no power over him. That he overcame death at the cross. So those are the four compelling evidences of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know perhaps you've heard this before and have read these verses many, many times, but what great comfort it is, even as a Christian, for myself and for others to go back and to see that we indeed, we have a cause that is worth following, and we can live a life that can be victorious because of the resurrected Savior. And there will be many critics, and there will be many that will question the authenticity of the story, and but they can never question a changed life. And again, as we have sung, He lives, He lives, He lives within my heart. And that's the word, see that Jesus is alive in you. There are a lot of Christians today. Yes, they believe in the resurrection, and yes, they know they're on their way to heaven, but they're not really doing anything in their lives to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that God has given us a purpose, and He saved us. There's a saying, He saved us not so that we can serve Jesus Christ, not to kind of put us on the shelf and just to kind of wait the life out, but for us to get busy and serve God and to help others understand the significance of the resurrection and how the Lord had made a difference in our lives. And so those are the evidences of the resurrection. But let me just give you really quickly, I know our time is kind of getting on us quickly here, but let me see, what is the significance of the resurrection? Those are great evidences, and those are great tools as we discuss the reality of the resurrection. But how does the resurrection actually help us in our daily lives? Yes, it paid and it sealed our redemption. But I submit to us today that the resurrection has more of a significant impact on our daily lives. Number one, the significance of the resurrection. Number one, it proved that Jesus is God. No one has ever been raised from the dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And He is God. And in John 11:25, as I said, it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He is God, and he is our Savior. And the fact of the matter is, he lives, and we can place our faith in him for our salvation. And if he's God, then he truly has the way to heaven. He said that no one, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come after the Father but through me. And so we see that Jesus, the resurrection proved that he is God. But number two, what's the significance of the resurrection in our daily life is the fact that the resurrection secured the salvation of man. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And it sealed, sort of, if you will, the deal. It sealed, it inked the contract and the fact that we are saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is the penalty for sin. Jesus died not for his own sin, because he was sinless, but for the sin of the world. Since he was sinless, death and grave could not hold him. And so if you would put your picture with me again, there the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross with the blood flowing through his veins and the crown of thorns upon his brow and grasping for air and people mocking him. And if you read the gospel story, many of the religious leaders that orchestrated that whole thing said that if he were God, if he were really the Messiah, let him come down now and we'll worship him. They were mocking him. And yet he didn't retaliate. He could have called legions of angels. He could have called his Father to come down for rescue. And he is God. But instead he said, Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that amazing? As he hung there on the cross. But he knew he would raise again. And that secured the salvation of man. Number three, the resurrection gives us purpose in life, empowered to live a victorious life. The resurrection, yes, it was for our salvation. It secured the payment for our salvation. It also is for our sanctification. Living the Christian life is not easy. As I mentioned this morning, that we feel defeated many times because we live independently, or we're not in the Word, or we're not praying, and we're not reading our Bibles, we're not listening to instruction from the preaching of the Word of God. But all of that is part of living a victorious Christian life. Is the resurrection has given us the provision for that. And we can live a victorious life. You can overcome sin. You can overcome a lot of things that people struggle with as a Christian because of the Christian, because of the resurrection. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians 1:19, the Bible says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ," please watch this, "when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but only in this which is to come. And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filled all in all." Oh, we can live, we can have that victorious Christian life. Romans chapter 8 gives us a great promise that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Sadly, instead of being a conqueror, we become victims instead of being victorious. And why? Because we've allowed sin many times in our lives. So we allow pride into our lives. But praise God, we can overcome those things because of the resurrected Savior, because of his resurrection and the power of resurrection. Paul says this in Philippians 3, verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." And notice the power of his resurrection. And the resurrection, the whole idea of being dead to self and walking in newness of life, and that because the Bible says that we can reckon ourselves dead unto sin in Romans chapter 6. The word reckon is an accounting term. It means to count on. It's been accounted already. It's in the books. You can count on that we can live a victorious life. We are more than conquerors in Christ. The word conquerors means win by a margin. Ever watch a game where there's just a complete loss? And I remember a game, I love basketball, and there was the game way back in the 90s in the Barcelona games when they had the dream team, they called it. All the superstars of NBA played in one team and played against the countries, and they played a game. Some I think it was Nigeria or something, and the margin of win was incredible. And that's what it is to be a conqueror. We win. We're not. Although we do get hurt, and we do get, God allows difficulties in our lives, but we're not meant to remain defeated. We're not to remain. We're not to remain under the bondage of sin. And so the resurrection gives us purpose and power to live a victorious life. Lastly, we see that the resurrection also gives us the personal accountability to God. Personal accountability to God. You know that term, that phrase they say, what you don't know won't hurt you? People know, and you know now, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how he offers salvation to all men and to everybody in this world. And if you if people die without Christ, it's not because God didn't love them. It's not because there was no way. It's because they refused the message of the resurrection or the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, God has given us the tools. God has given us the principles to live a victorious life. If we are defeated, and sometimes we will be defeated, and sometimes we will have discouraging days, and some days are better than others. But if we continue in that, we are accountable for our lives as Christians. It does matter how you live your life. Yes, your salvation is secured, but Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That's our accounting for how we expended our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, our resources, our talents, and our time for the Lord Jesus Christ. There at the judgment seat of Christ, sin is not being judged. Sin was already judged at the foot of the cross when you accepted Christ. It is just the rewards that we get to heaven. We don't deserve it. We get to serve the Lord, and He gives us reward. He will give us rewards in heaven. And we have the power because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is risen. And He's alive. Is He alive in you today? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you experience that victorious power of the resurrection? Maybe you're a Christian today and you say, "I've been defeated many times. I struggle with sin and I try to do right, but there's just a struggle, and I understand that struggle. We all go through it, and by the way, your sin is no greater than mine, nor anyone else in this room and in this world. It's all the same to the Lord, but He's given us a way. He's given us the path to victory." Let's all stand and bow our heads, and we'll be closing in prayer. And Pastor will come. Lord Jesus, thank You for today. Thank You for this opportunity to preach and to teach about Your resurrection, Lord. And thank You for the resurrection. And Lord, death had no power over You, and death has no sting. Lord, the author of death, which is Satan, Lord, he was defeated there at the cross. And we thank You for that. And I pray that You just help us now as we have this time of invitation. And Lord, I pray that You...